Jambo.
It's a blessing, and I feel very much privileged to stand in front of you all today. And my memory goes back to the 16 years ago when myself, Bishop Zach, the late Bishop Zach, Reverend John Marco, and myself came in 2002. And that was my very first eye-opener, as I've told many people, to see the many things that I've never seen in my life. To go back home very much encouraged and ready to continue serving the Lord. So my name is Samuel, as she said. I love the Lord and I still continue work in the walk with the Lord and in the service of the Lord. I bring you very much warm greetings from Bishop Musa, and I'm sure some of you know him because he was here in 2013. He sent a lot of greetings to you all. Well, I'm going to begin by giving you a very brief, I would call it a very brief report of what we are doing in Geita. And in the end, I will finish with a thought of the day. Now, on the screen, you can see the map of Tanzania. And Geita is actually located in the northern part of Tanzania. It is, our diocese is in the southern western part of Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is the biggest lake in Africa. I'm not sure about the whole world. It could probably be the second lake or something. But in that southern part of Lake Victoria, southern western, we have about 40 islands. And by God's grace, through your prayers and support, we've been able to reach about 32. We got 32 churches out of the 40 islands in Lake Victoria in the southern part. As I told you, I will continue with a brief information about the diocese. And I think I've told you briefly about the background. And Bishop Zach, as you all might remember, that he went to be with the Lord in 2004. And Bishop Musa took over. And if we keep going, the Lord has blessed his work. The Lord is working wonders. And honestly, today, I really want to give you a picture of the diocese itself. We have 8 departments in our diocese. And I am giving this report. Why? Because St. Matthew's, I would sort of say, are the parents of the diocese. Because the diocese was started in 1993. And Bishop Zach was here. He came here. And Chris Weeks and Bishop Zach have been very close friends in terms of supporting. And him come or send some teams from here to come and support the work there. So I am very honored to briefly share with you. Now, in these 8 departments, we have, I will focus on 3 main areas that I will briefly give a report about. The first part will be the spiritual development, the mental sort of educational part of it, and the physical development, which would mainly mean the community or social part of the development. So we begin with the spiritual part of it. I briefly told you in the beginning that the Lord is blessing his work in Africa. We have grown I remember I was actually looking at the statistics when we come in 1992, in 2002, and comparing to what we have today. Then we had about 350 churches when we come. Today, as I'm talking to you, we have about 700 local churches in the whole diocese. And this has been possible through church planting, open-air meetings, house-to-house evangelism, conferences, seminars, and for both pastors and church members. And one of the major challenges that we have in our place, it's about the false teachings, the false preachers and teachers, prosperity gospel. I know it might be a problem here as well, but I would say it's a bigger problem in our place, because if a person is hungry and, you know, and he's poor and you're telling them, you know, he'll bless you, and blessings, it only means having riches, you know, having a lot of money, having things, material things. That is the only translation that you hear being told. So I briefly told you about the open air meetings, and this picture was actually sent by Pendo. You see, there's a person that is fire. That is fire. This is when you share the gospel and people accept Jesus and they want to come out of the traditional beliefs. And so they give whatever were part of their, you know, belief and worship and protection. So they want to give their life to Jesus, and we publicly, you know, ban those things. So that is part of the and pastors training. This now we have 120 ordained ministers, and we only had a couple of them the last time we came. In other words, what I'm trying to say here, the Lord has taken us from one step to a very good step. This is Gator Christian College. Any growth comes with some, you know, cost and all that, and we are realizing that if we do not train pastors, then we are in for it because of the false teachings and all that. So the Lord has enabled us to have a college where we can train pastors, and they come for training at least for 3 months. They go back to their local church because of the huge challenge that we have. The growth of the church is growing very fast, very fast. I mean, it's hard to explain, but in a week you can plant a church, and the next week you can plant a church. You probably have to limit yourself and say, hey, we need to plan and make sure that everything is fine. Because you tell people about Jesus, the reception of the gospel is just, you know, unimaginable. So we go to the second area of our of the report itself. So in our diocese now we can currently have two primary schools, and they are English medium school, and this is a Ritchie Hill Primary School and Lake Victoria Pre and Primary English School. And with the Ritchie Hill, you are part of it. That's why I'm actually sharing this with you, because Santa Matthews is part and parcel of this school. This was a vision. This is a vision that was left by Bishop Zach long time ago. And now it is the leading school in the region in terms of academics. It is able to run by itself, not, you know, expecting support from outside through the school fees. And because of the good quality of education, parents would want to bring their children there. And that has actually enabled us to, you know, to run the school without any difficulties. And of course, this is Reach Hill, and this is like this Reach Hill and Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is also one of our English medium primary school, and it is doing very well. On the community development part of it, you know, you go to these people, as I have told you, you preach to them, they accept Jesus, you know, they come into the church. What next? Because they are hungry, or they're poor, they have some, you know, have some needs, and the Lord has opened doors for us to have the village bank groups, the agricultural training, chicken and cattle farming, beekeeping, and church and community mobilization. And on this, if you go to the next, this is part of the village bank groups that we are working very hard to form those. Because over the years, many organizations have tried to come in and, you know, do the handouts of the money and all that. But through Tear Fund, and today we prayed about Tear Fund. Thank you. If you've been praying for Tear Fund, supporting, God bless you so much. They partner with us. And this is part of the activities that we do with them. We go to all of these local churches, these villages, and encourage people to come together. This is one of the self-help groups. They meet, you know, they put their money together and they start taking loans. And each one of them would be able to do some businesses, income-generating activities. And it is not only that, the skills on the best ways of farming, you know, teaching our people in their villages the best ways of farming. And it is working. It is helping. And people, you know, are giving lots and lots of testimonies on what the Lord is doing. So with church and community mobilization, we basically want to empower the local churches to engage the surrounding community to come together and discuss their challenges and actually address those challenges using the local available resources. And that is really helping very much. Going to the next slide, this is one of the examples. They started worshiping under a tree. But through the church and community mobilization, they now have a church where they can go and worship. And this comes from them. You encourage, you teach. If there's any support, it's very, very literal. This is another thing. This is a village where it's a Nyakasanga village. They were drawing or fetching water from that pond. Now we have a well, a very good well, where they can get some clean water for drinking. And of course, then we teach them about, you know, not only clean water, but it also have to be safe, and mainly boiling, you know, boiling water. We go to our next. Again, Santa Matthews, as I said, you have helped AICT Diocese of Gate. And I'm not saying this because I'm here. I am a testimony, because through the support, because today I'm actually sharing the report. I'm not here to say, please support or help us for this and that. No, I am sharing with you of what God has done through your own work and support and that you've done many times in a ways that it's hard to understand. Next, this is an office that we have just built. It was impossible for us to build an office like this one, but this will be the diocesan office. It's a big office. When we came here, we were, I think, the office had about 4 or 5 people full-time. Today, 27 full-time people in the office. So we need a bigger office. no support from outside. But it is because of your support, the capacity that you built through the diocese. Then, next slide, we were able to be seen by many other organizations, you know, that we are working with. And I will briefly talk about, you know, there's a list of that. Vine Trust, Tear Fund Compassion, AIM, which initially was actually the African and Mission, finally African and Church. Now we partner with them. Next slide. My time is... Okay, yeah, I'm doing really not bad. So, as part of the interest, because there's a lot, as you have seen, I would spend quite a lot of time almost in every department explaining. But if I would take some minutes talking about the MV Jubilee Hope. MV Jubilee Hope, it's a medical ship that is taking medical services to the islands of Lake Victoria. These are islands that have a very difficult access to medical services or completely no services to no access to medical services. So the ship, this ship takes primarily health care. Now we are reaching, I think, 18 islands. And you know, and it is hard work. You go out for 2 weeks, you come back for refueling, and the Lord is working wonders. We get volunteers, but Vine Trust, it's an organization that works from here in the UK. Headquarters are in Scotland, Edinburgh. And so we have doctors and nurses that comes over as volunteers. So this is one of the area that really we prayed. Every time you go to the islands, you preach to people. I told you we have 30-plus churches just now. And, you know, you tell them about Jesus, yes, but they are sick. What do? God in his own ways helped, you know, enabled us to, you know, to connect with Vine Trust. And now there's a lot of lives that are being changed. These are houses in the island of Lake Victoria. They're actually grass thatched, the whole thing is just grass. And life is very challenging in here. There are many women that comes here because of the business, because of the fish, and they also come here for many reasons. And HIV/AIDS prevalence is 25. In these islands. You go to the mainland, you have 4% HIV/AIDS prevalent. In the islands, 25. What do you expect? When they come out from the islands, you expect a huge problem. So the Lord is opening the door, and there's a lot of work taking place, you know, reaching these people in the islands, taking health care services to them. And now our next plan is actually, because we have now been able to have, we have many groups of young people and women who are HIV/AIDS positive. And they've come out, you know, openly, and they say, well, here I am. If I cannot continue with the work, well, you all that's here. If I cannot continue with the business that I was doing, because then, what should I be doing? So we are doing the same thing. We are bringing them into groups, self-help groups. We call them post-test groups. So we are doing that. But on top of that, we are coming up now with a plan of building a village of hope. This will be, you can call it an orphanage, but it will not be an institutional kind of an orphanage, because of what we have come to find out, that in a big orphanage where you have 100 plus children, there are children that will basically not be helped. And there are some that will get most of the attention because they're active, they're more active than the rest, and they'll always capture the attention of the guardians around there. And we have seen that because we have a children's home in Geita. And now we want to come up with the Village of Hope, where we will have mamas, a woman, a widow, we got children who become mothers, you know. So that lady will be taken care of not beyond six children. She can have her two of hers and probably four more, and in a small house somewhere with around them a small farm where they will be farming and doing chicken keeping and cattle. And we will have in this village a farm of 30 plus acres. And this will be, will be a common farm for all the homes that are there. And I can assure you, this will be a self-sustainable, place-based, self-sustainable home. We produce, and from the produce, we'll be able to feed the children, and we'll be able to support them to go to school, and so forth, and so on. Now, I know that time is really, the clock is ticking, and I'm finishing now. This is Bishop Musa, he's the leader of our diocese. And I'll briefly share this message with you, what we have just read. Verses 3 of what we read. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Remember, this is God's plan from day one. This is what God has intended throughout the time, throughout the ages. Well, Adam and Eve, you know what they did, but he wanted to stay with them in the Garden of Eden. But during Christmas, we read and we learn, he's Emmanuel, God with us. And I can assure you, this is God's plan from the beginning, dwelling with humankind. And we have read, where there will be no pain. Of course, the works, the struggles that we are doing, and all that you're doing here at St. Matthew's, those are steps to help us go to a vision, a new Jerusalem, the new world where the Lord has prepared for each one of us. And I want to thank you so much for your prayers, for your support. And as I finish, I would like us to stand and pray very briefly. Father, thank you. Because your plan is to dwell with each one of us, whether white or black, whether poor or rich. In any way, you love each one of us. And I pray that you will help each one of us here by your grace to continue standing, to continue desiring to be part of this dwelling place where you will be our God and we will be your people. We thank you so much. There are so many things that are going on, and in our own strength, we will not be able to make it. We pray for your grace to be sufficient upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.